Well, when it comes to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and His presence is with us as it is right now this morning, as you could feel it begin to just gradually begin to invade our space, how can you not but get excited about what Jesus has done for us? You know, the communion is a solemn moment, but you know what? It's an exciting moment. Because we get to celebrate what Jesus did for us. Think back to who you were and where you are today. You may not be anywhere close to where you want to be, but you're a long way from where you were. All because of the cross. So when we take communion, it's a time to celebrate and be joyful as we remember what Christ Jesus did for us, and His presence is here. Well, I found out a lot of people went on vacation, so we went, we come back, everybody goes on vacation. That's okay. It is the holiday season. But I am excited that, I'm excited that you're here, and it is so good to be back in worship with the community of faith of NEC. Worship team, all four of you did awesome. Don't we have a blessed worship team? I mean, they can be down people, and they still sound awesome. It's good. What God has done here at NEC. He has graced us most assuredly in our worship. That is for sure. This morning, I'm going to begin to unpack what's deeply burdening my heart in this series. Let's pray. Father, let us not be distracted today. Matter of fact, convict us if we do anything that will distract us from hearing every piece of what you've given my assignment to be today, that we'll listen carefully. As we come to the end of this year and begin the process of preparing for 2022. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, many theologians, including myself, believe that the end time clock started. At the destruction of the temple the second time, in 70 AD, again, many theologians and myself believe that the last days began. At the Arab-Israeli War of 1948, and Israel becomes a nation again, I say it again, many theologians and myself believe that the last of the last days started. Now, as we step back and look at the landscape of what we have walked through over the past 22 and a half months, the reality is, unless you're just not paying attention, the clock is ticking and getting closer to zero. And we are truly living in the last of the last days. We wake up every morning being reminded of something else that's changed in the world or in the United States that reminds us that as Christians, we need to be busy about the Father's business. So we are in the last of the last days. Now I'm going to read a verse of Scripture in just a moment to launch us to where we are going. In these last days of this year, this series, this three-part series, will be the fuel to lead us to my Christmas message called The Journey and on to our Christmas Eve service. All of this will be the fuel for the message God has already given me for the first of the year, and what He wants us to hear and wants us to understand going into 2022. So this series is very important. And the verse of Scripture that I'm about to put out before all of us is key to all of it. And those of you who are watching online, in a moment, that verse of Scripture will pop up so that you can see it clearly on the screen when I read it. For those of you that are here this morning, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to read out of Amos and my comments as I end reading this verse of Scripture. I'm going to read out of Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. What I am watching is this verse of Scripture happening as real as it was being prophesied in the time, coming to pass in this time, and the past 22 and a half months has exposed that very clearly. There is a famine of the Word of God. There is a famine of the truth of the Word of God. There is a famine of speaking truth and a famine of accepting truth. And that has caused an issue that we will look at today. We will go to Matthew in just a moment, but I want to say this before we go there, that I want you to live the Bible, not just read the Bible. Don't just watch the words on the screen, but I want you to live it with me this morning as we take a look at what Jesus said. We're in a time and a season. This series is all about looking at statements, insights, and teachings of Jesus that we need to pay attention to right now as we end 2021 and begin to go into 2022. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, it says, Jesus left the temple and was going away. When the disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Now, let's live the verse of Scripture. Jesus is at the temple. He has turned to walk away. He's headed to the Mount of Olives. The disciples are with him, and then they get Jesus' attention and want Jesus to pay attention to these amazing buildings that are a part of the temple. Now, why would they do that? Because the building, the temple, inlaid in the block was gold. Now, I can imagine it's a very clear, sunny day. And can you imagine, just for a moment, what the temple looked like with sun beaming down on it? Beautiful. And this is a very important place to the disciples. This is a sacred place to the disciples. Jesus is just walking past it, headed to the top. I'm sure they were like, man, he didn't even say, hey, look how beautiful this is. This is an awesome building here. So they think, well, you know, Jesus missed it. Let's get Jesus' attention so he can pay attention to it. That's how important it was to them. Now, Jesus is about to set them on their heels. In verse 2, he says, but he answered them, you see all these, do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left one stone upon another. Not one would be left upon another. Think about that for a moment. I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and saying, tell us, when will these things be? Question number one. Tell us when these things will be. Next, what will be the sign of your coming? Number two. Number three, and of the end of the age. I can just see the disciples. When Jesus turned around and said, you look at it really good now because I'm telling you, it won't be standing. Not one stone will be left on another. I can just see the shock on their faces. What? This thing that is so important to them is going to go away. So now they're on the Mount of Olives. It's later that day. They come to him and they ask him three questions. Here is what's so cool about Jesus Christ. He did not answer their question. He told them what they needed to hear first. And there's a message in there. Have we done what Jesus told us to do the first time? He's going to tell them what they need to know, not answer their question right away. And that statement that Jesus is about to make in just a moment, that statement is going to be crucial to the other things he's going to tell them in the process of answering their question. And here's what Jesus said to them in Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered them, "See that no one leads you astray." That's the first words out of Jesus' mouth when they asked their three questions. Let's read it again. "See that no one leads you astray. In the past 22 and a half months, I have watched. You have watched. I have talked to pastors. I have talked to leaders in other churches, our leaders, what they're seeing. I've talked to members. I've talked to members of other churches that I run into. And we're seeing the same thing. Here's what we're seeing. We're seeing what Jesus was telling them, because they were going to grow to understand that if they didn't walk in the truth that Jesus was teaching and know the Old Testament truths, that they would be easily led astray when trouble came. Have we faced a lot of trouble in 22 and a half months? Come on. And I've watched the church disappear. All over. We just came back from Oklahoma and Arkansas. We keep hearing the same stories. Why? I believe there's a famine of truth being spoken and a famine of receiving. There's a famine of the word. And when things got changed, there wasn't enough rooting in people's lives to stay connected, and it was easy to be disconnected. It became too easy. Someone used, "Well, people just got out of the habit." Why would you get out of the habit? I'm meddling, I know. Come on. We're in the last days. The clock is ticking. And church, we need to pay attention to what Jesus told the disciples. Do not be led astray. And today, it doesn't just take other people speaking. We have a lot of things that pull us astray. The video was talking about distractions. Apostle Paul was talking to the church in 2 Timothy. And let me read to you what he said to the church. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. He's talking to the church. "The church will not endure sound teaching." Endure. You know what the word endure here means? Tolerate. The church will no longer tolerate sound teaching. Why? I got one word for it: conviction. Conviction is the greatest motivator on planet Earth. Where's Colin? He was teaching something different. Send me away for 2 weeks. Will not endure, will not tolerate sound teaching. "But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Famine, defined by the Bible dictionary, is three words. A, serious shortage. And there is a serious shortage of truth being spoken and truth being received. There's a famine of truth. Because we've gotten to a place where we don't want to hear too much truth, because it wrecks my lifestyle, makes me have to change what I have now become comfortable with. And a lot of people got comfortable with a whole new lifestyle, and the clock is still ticking. In my belief, in what I am witnessing and what I am seeing, too many believers are biblically malnourished. And you can't put all the weight on the pulpit, which I put a lot of weight on the pulpits that I'm listening to. The truth, I don't hear truth. I hear a motivational message without any truth that convicts. but it's on ourselves too. The clock is ticking. And we have watched the church too easily pulled away from connection with the community of faith. Would you say that we need to pray more? I would think so. Theodore Roosevelt said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." And I'm sure in his time, not very many people could have that, so it was something to reach for. It was a big deal. But he must have saw that people were putting it above knowing the Bible, or he wouldn't have made the comment. So the question becomes, what has taken the place in our lives for this book? What consumes our time? Someone was in my office last week reminding me of something I say a lot, and I didn't realize I hadn't said it in a while. We will give the time and energy and make the sacrifices necessary to do what we want to do. And we'll get rid of all the excuses. But are we doing the same thing when it comes to the book that we have got to have deep within us because of the things before us that we're facing? What are we doing? I have a pinned truth. We must have the proper conviction and relationship to the Scriptures. For those of you that are new here, a pinned truth is something that I have learned or a revelation that I have gotten from God. In this pinned truth, the key word here is conviction. Do we have the proper conviction? Do we even come under conviction when we're not in the Word of God and planting it within us? Is there any conviction? Because it has everything to do with relationship to Jesus Christ and to the Father God. It's through the Word of God that we draw closer to God and fine-tune our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's through the book. Do we have the proper conviction and relationship to the Scriptures? And since the days are so evil, true? Am I speaking out of turn? Since the days are so evil, then the reality is that we must feed, consume, devour the Word of truth. We must. It's not for a few. There's coming a day that the church better know the Word of God and be grounded in it and stop the excuses. Because I'm telling you, we are masterful at making sure we have time to do the things we really want to do, and we get rid of all the excuses and we sacrifice like crazy. But you know what? Jesus gave His life so that this book could be in front of us so that we could learn it. Here's something else I've learned. Beware of letting the world system dull our taste, our appetite for God's Word. Our taste, here it comes, get ready, here it comes, for conviction. Can we no longer come under conviction, or do we simply always say that's condemnation? I recently had somebody come up to me and said, "I'm sorry, but that was just condemnation. That's all I heard." No, it was not condemnation. It was truth from the Scriptures that brought conviction. You just don't want to change. And it breaks my heart. And they were coming to me from watching online. And we are reaching people online, and I love it when they come to me because, see, the next 15 minutes, that got turned around. Conviction. Have we lost our taste for conviction? I'm going to give you three truths this morning with the time that I have left. And I know I took up extra time with the communion, but we needed to celebrate what Jesus had done. And I am burdened beyond how I can even express it in the English language for the community of faith of Jesus Christ right now. When it comes to the lack of hunger for the truth and a conviction to hunt it down. Number one, read and hear the word. Say it out loud with me what you see. I want you to say that again. Say that word again. Now tell yourself, not the person next to you. Everybody's always saying, turn to the person next to you and tell them something. Why don't you turn to yourself and say, I need to what? That's what we need to do. In Psalms 119, 130, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. We must allow God's word to engross. Let me say it another way. Hold our thinking. The word of God. If you're struggling with that, it's because you're not in it enough. But the more you're in it, the more the word will infiltrate your mind and actually make things go way better, because the word of God and the Spirit of God can lead you and direct you in ways that your mind will never figure out. Engross, hold our thinking. Let me say it another way. We should let the word of God dominate our thought life. The word of God should dominate our thought life. I'm going to make a statement at the end of this service that's going to make that statement very important. It needs to dominate our thought life. And here's the biggie in today's world. I see too many people completely, totally absorbed with their devices, that even if a thunderstorm was right over their head and lightning striking all around them, it wouldn't faze them. Come on. Truth? Truth. Absorbed by devices, but not absorbed by the Word of God. I have people tell me, I just don't have time. Well, what are you doing with your time? They don't want to tell me what they're doing with their time. Why? Conviction's coming. They tell me, I want to get closer to God, okay? But I don't have time. Well, let's talk about what you're doing. I know that one landed right in the middle of the room, so we need to consistently read and listen to enough word that it penetrates into the depths of our being. And that's what I'm not seeing. So absorbed with so many things, yet not absorbed with the Word of God to the point that it's penetrating me so much that it is changing me literally. The Word of God. What about supplements? Oh, don't get Rochelle started on supplements. But what's the key to supplements? It is about the consistency of the what? Intake. Until what? Until it begins to absorb into your body what? Fully. Correct? That's what makes it work. You know what makes the Word of God work? When you absorb it. Continually, consistently, until it fills you up. And then all you can do is start giving it out. We're not giving out because we're not filled up. We need to be consumed by the Word of God. Pen truth. If God's Word is going to do what He wants it to do, you must soak it up like a sponge does water. Number two, read and hear the word obediently. You should always hear and listen to the Word of God with the desire to obey the Word of God. You do not have to raise your hand, but on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you on your desire to obey? Where are we? Did you know that obeying means that I'm going to have to face some conviction? That word's going to come a lot this morning. I am where I am today because I didn't run from it. I engaged it. It didn't always feel good, but I'm going to tell you what, it changed my life. Conviction guides you and directs you into the right path and sets the captive free. And if you're unwilling to let that come and let someone help you through that, you have chosen a life that is not free, but bound by the world and its pressures and all that goes with it. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Don't just read it. Don't just listen to it. Don't listen to me today and walk out the door and forget, like going by a mirror and forget whether or not you put your earrings on, ladies. Rochelle will be in front of the mirror for a long time, get in the car halfway down the road. She goes, oh, I forgot my earrings. And I'm thinking, you were looking in the mirror. Don't look into the mirror and walk away and forget what you heard. That's what the scripture says. Don't forget. Read it again. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Matthew 7:24 says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. Key, what? Does them. Will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. There's a day coming when we'll stand before God. Keep that little thought in your mind for a moment. Here's a truth that I've learned that's not on the screen. To know the truth, you have to obey the truth. And I've also learned that God will give you more truth and more insight if you are a person who is ready to obey what He's about to give you. He'll give you more truth, more insight, more revelation of things you are asking God about if you are a person who will obey what God says. We can't be asking God for all these things, and then when He brings it, then we sit here like we're at the supermarket and decide whether or not, I'm going to put that over there, God. I think I can handle it myself. I think I'll go a different direction. Well, didn't you just ask me? Did you not just ask me? Back to, there's a famine of truth being spoken and truth being received. And that's got to change. He will more frequently unpack truth to those who are ready to obey the truth. Catch the word? More frequently. To those who are ready to obey. Number three, read and hear the word carefully. Pen truth, the Bible deserves our undivided attention. Psalms 138, 2 and 3 says, I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. And why? Because they bowed down and sought who? Father God. They made it important. We must flip the switch and stop being so distracted and start consuming the book. And not waiting for Sunday to happen. But when Sunday does happen, that you don't walk out of here and forget what was said. Collins' messages hit a nerve and unpacked a lot of truth. If you don't remember the messages, go listen to them again. We cannot forget what we've heard. It takes rehearsing over and over stuff. There are messages I will go back and listen to 5, 6, 7 times. Why? Why? Get it down inside of me because I know I'm going to need it. I'm going to need it. We need to focus our attention on God's Word. Number 4, last one. And everybody's going, whew. Okay. Number 4, read and hear the Word personally. Don't read and listen to the Word today with your mind on who needs to hear this. That's later, after you get it. Read and listen to the Word personally for you. And what do you need to do? Not for what how you think this will fit someone else's life and what's going on in their life. But Pastor, you don't understand. I'm right now, I just can't explain, but I'm in a perfect moment. And all I can think about is all those people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. We have a lot of ways we fend off conviction. Psalms 119, 10 through 19. We're going to read all of it. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Listen to what we're reading. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Can't just ask God to do that and then not be available. God, help me through this situation and then not be ready to obey and do exactly what God tells you to do. Verse 13, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep. Listen. He's asking for him to be blessed, but listen how he says this. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Wow. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I am a sojourner on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me. Can I give you the Smithy translation? Without causing issue. God, don't ever stop bringing conviction to me when I need it, so that I might be consumed by your word. That I might be consumed by your word. Let me ask this question before I get into my final statement. What's your reading and listening life like? Where is the level of consumption versus the things that you're allowing to rob that time? What are those things doing for you versus what the Bible could do for you? It's the Word of God that makes all the difference in the world. I'm going to say it again. The Word of God is what makes the difference in the world. And in your world, the Word of God. Listen carefully to my final statement this morning. We must keep turning the pages with more conviction. When I'm asking God every day to speak to me, I want Him to talk to who? Me, not you. What do I need, God? What do I need? What do I need? What do I need so that I can be a better servant for you? What does my family need? What does the church need? It all starts where? Here. Then I go from there to praying for the church, the family, or whatever, and then unloading the things that I am desiring. But it all begins with getting before the Father in worship and saying, Father, what have you to say to me? To me. And sometimes it's not fun. But it's always beneficial. Always beneficial. Always. We must keep turning the pages with more conviction. We must keep listening with more conviction. Why? The Bible is clear that God indeed is indeed our judge. So before you give an account of your life to God, it certainly behooves all of us to know God's word before that solemn time comes. Anybody want to disagree with me on that one? I would think it would be very important to God, don't you? I do. I can't see any way that it wouldn't be important to God. His son gave his life so that it was important to us. And I add this morning, you will not be so easily deceived and led away out of the connection and communion with the body of Christ if you're full. Because all you're going to want to do is hang out with the body of Christ. You're going to want to go grab those who are outside the body of Christ that have detached and got disconnected. You're going to want to go bring them to a place where the truth is spoken so that they can be free and walk in power and dominion in Jesus Christ. A place where they can come and find out that they are loved and cared for, loved so much that the pastor will come off vacation and come to you with a message about the importance and the excitement of conviction. The promises are true and real to North Elevation Church. And I refuse to quit. And I refuse not to sit before God and be dealt with if I have to be dealt with. So that what? I can serve Him better. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? Let's commit ourselves to be a church that's not only known for our grace and our love, our compassion, that we love well, but we forgive even better, but that we are a true church who declares truth, unafraid to tell the truth, and will love people into the truth, have grace when they don't respond real well, and help them continue their walk. That we're a truth that's a church that's known for speaking truth. And we will not back off from that. Truth is the most important thing that we can do, is speak truth with love and grace and mercy. But you got to speak the truth first. Amen? Let's commit ourselves to the truth. Father, we come to you today in Jesus' name, and we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and hung on that cross just for us. And today we're reminded why he came to that cross. It's so that we could know you and know him well. And we're going to only do that through the Word of God. And through having a heart that is ready to hear from you, no matter what it is. And then be willing to obey you and do what you say. Father, we commit ourselves to that today. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you're a guest with us for the first time, I'm going to encourage you to stop by the Connection Center, get one of our connection cards, fill that out as comfortable as you are with the information that you want to give. Leave that with them. Get your gift bag. And for everybody else this morning, it's good to see you. Be blessed. Don't forget what you heard today when you leave. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.